بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين. عليه وعلى أصحابه وأتباعه وآله أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم إلى يوم الدين وبعد يوم الدين. Dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I would like to tell you that when I was given the number of lectures that the brothers asked me to give, I chose this topic and I thought that it was going to be the easiest one, because it's very simple: the rights of Muslims over other Muslims. And then when I sat down, I thought about it, I found it more complicated than I thought of in the beginning, and also more complicated than what many Muslims think of the topic. Why? Because this subject is really deeply rooted in Islam, as the origin of Islam is. As we know, the definition of Iman is something that is done by the tongue when we express the Shahada, when we express the Amr bil Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar, when we express our identity. It is done also by our actions, when we pray, when we fast, when we do zakah, and when we practice all the Islamically required practices. It is also done by the heart, and that is the belief. And erroneously, it is believed that belief is something that is done just as a matter of conviction. You're convinced. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires much more than the conviction in the heart, and that is the action of the heart. And the action of the heart means that if you believe, you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you believe in Allah, you love Allah. If you believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not all, but also your heart must be in love with all that is loved by Allah and with all that is loved by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If any one of us would not accept a friend to be the friend of his enemy, how do we accept that Allah would accept our love to other than him, or to something that shows animosity to him subhanahu wa ta'ala? Of course, it is not acceptable. And that is the subject of al-wala, loyalty, attachment to Allah, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to everything that is loved by Allah and loved by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a very beautiful manner. وَإِن تَظَهَرَ عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ وَإِن تَظَهَرَ عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ مَوْلَاهُ وَجِبْرِيلُ وَصَالِحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ ظَهِيرٌ. When some of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conspired in a very innocent manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses them that if you all support one another against him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah is the supporter of him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And the angels, and Jibreel, and the angels, and the righteous of all the believers are all in support of him, alayhi salatu wasalam. It's very important to realize that our rights are deeply rooted in our hearts, and they go along with Iman itself. You see, if you look in the world around you, if you have a poor man, and if you have a rich, strong, influential person on the other hand, when the rich, influential person would say something, then people would listen and would obey and would hasten into following. But when someone poor, like myself, would say something, very few who would listen to him, if there is any. And that is that's the norm on the surface of the earth since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam. The strongest of Adam's children killed his brother. And in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a poor man who passed by. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he looked at the man and he had his companions around him, he asked his companions, how do you value this person? They said, this is a poor man. In qala, حَرِيٌّ أَلَّا يُسْتَمَعَ لِقَوْلِهِ وَإِنْ خَطَبَ حَرِيٌّ أَلَّا يُنْكَحَ. If he speaks, nobody should listen to him. And if he asks or proposes for marriage from a family, they should not give him. And some rich man passed by after that. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, how do you think of that person? Of course, when we say rich, nobody looked at his bank account, but it appeared on him, the power, the way he walks, the expensive clothes. And when they said, looked at him, they said, إِنَّهُ حَرِيٌّ إِنْ قَالَ أَنْ يُسْتَمَعَ لِقَوْلِ. If he speaks, people should listen to him. And if he proposes for marriage, they should give him in marriage. Give to him in marriage. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about the first man who was poor, هَذَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ مِلْءِ الْأَرْضِ مِنْ هَذَا. The first one is much better in the sight of Allah than the full of this earth of the second one. Subhanallah. So you see, people usually make judgments about other people. In addition to that, people, if you have in our times, many of the Muslims, and I'm very sad to say that, they refuse to have a Muslim scholar intervene between them to make an Islamic judgment. And if it happens that a Muslim scholar or imam gives judgment between two, they might not apply. As it happened even with me personally, I happened to make judgment between several people and they refused to carry it out or abide by. But when they receive just a notice from the court, they hasten into going and paying what they should have paid long time ago. So the Muslim, before we say rights of Muslims over another Muslim, we need to find out what is the source of these rights, who declared them to be rights. And in the beginning, I would like to tell you, Allah is the one who declared these rights to be rights. And the one who violates these rights is violating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Meaning, and obey and fear Allah, in whose name you ask one another to give rights and give or protect the rights of one another. And at the end of the ayah, Allah says, Allah is watching over you. Subhanallah. What is the link between the end of the ayah and the protection of rights? Because the protection of rights in the case with Muslims should come from the heart. should come from the conviction that these are the right, and I do not need a police or guard person to guard me to show what I'm doing in regards to these rights. It is very important. It is part of Iman. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, من أحب لله وأبغض لله فقد استكمل الإيمان. من أحب لله وأبغض لله وأعطى لله ومنع لله فقد استكمل الإيمان. The one who loves for the sake of Allah, and the one who hates for the sake of Allah, and the one who gives only for the sake of Allah, and the one who takes only for the sake of Allah, had completed the branches of faith. And also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-hubbu fi Allah wal-bughdu fi Allah awthaqu 'ura al-iman. Meaning that love for the sake of Allah and the contrary is in the sake, for the sake of Allah is the strongest bond of iman. And this is what I said to you earlier, that loving someone or something for the sake of Allah, because Allah loves it or loves him or loves her, that is loving Allah himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, if you look and you read about the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, one occasion, Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, was going for Hajj, and in the place which is called Miqat, he got over his she-camel, over his ride, and he turned it to a certain place, to a certain direction, and he smiled. And when he was asked, why did you do that? He said, I don't know, except I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing it, and I wanted to do exactly as he did. Subhanallah. I mean, that is something that he didn't understand. And it wasn't part of the branches of Iman, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. Right now, you have a hard time having some Muslim applying the pillars of Islam. And people are categorized practicing Muslims and non-practicing Muslims. Right? So, this is what we are. Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, was a very, very merciful man. And he promised his father to seek the forgiveness of Allah for him. He said, أستغفر لك ربي إنه كان بي حفيا. I will seek forgiveness from your Lord, from my Lord, to you. He is very generous to me. And when he sought the forgiveness of Allah for his father, and he was told that his father is an enemy to Allah, he detached himself from him. وَمَا كَانَ اسْتِغْفَارُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِأَبِيهِ إِلَّا عَنْ مَوْعِدَةٍ وَعَدَهَا إِيَّاهِ فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوٌ لِلَّهِ تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهِ إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَأَوَّاهُ الْحَلِيمُ. الله أكبر. When he sought the forgiveness of Allah because of his promise to his father, and then he found that his father was an enemy to Allah, then he detached himself from him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised him as a man who is returning to the truth very fast, as a man who is very generous, as a man who is very calm and patient. So sometimes as human beings we may have rights, or we may develop rights over one another that aren't in the book of Allah, or are actually in violation to that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, كل شرط ليس في كتاب الله فهو باطل وإن كان مئة شرط. Every condition that is not in the book of Allah, it is void, even if it is 100 conditions. I mean, I don't want to overemphasize the source of these rights and the legitimacy. So in the mind of every Muslim, it should be established that the legitimacy for these rights is well established and is as required as Iman itself. It should be known that it is part of Iman, and without which we are not really practicing sometimes true Iman, and sometimes we are not practicing Iman at all if these rights are missed. People, when they get married, everybody knows the statement, we're getting married according to the Book of Allah and according to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? But after marriage, then the wife says, well, he's not allowing me to talk to my co-workers, the men. He's not allowing me to stay late at night outside with my friends, men and women. Does she know that statement, the meaning of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She doesn't. And when the husband says about his wife that she doesn't let me talk to other women, she doesn't want me to socialize with other women, what's wrong with her? Does he know what does it mean to say the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No, they don't. So a Muslim, before saying I'm getting married on the Book of, according to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they need to know what does it mean, really, the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah. What do they say about his rights and responsibilities in marriage? And I really like this idea when I heard that in Malaysia they have courses for those who would like to get married. Before they get married, they must know what are the rights and responsibilities of each before marriage. So I wish that we could teach courses about really rights of Muslims, rights of parents over their children, rights of children over their parents, responsibilities of each, and also rights and responsibilities of spouses. I wish we can do that. Now, if we would like to, cut through and go to the subject of the rights of Muslims over other Muslims, because I see many people getting bored and some people leaving and some people coming back, and some people may make their mind up that they are leaving for good. So I would like to go ahead and continue quickly so I can finish the subject before I get talking to myself. Really, we can classify these rights of Muslims to other Muslims into different rights, to different categories. One category is the right that is due to every Muslim. It is called general rights. And they are called, some other times, they are called haqqul Islam, the rights of Islam. The moment you become a Muslim, you acquire these rights. You are eligible for these rights. You enjoy these rights as soon as you become a Muslim. And there is another right, another group of rights that are only particular to certain groups and certain individuals. And there are other multiplied. I'll give you another example, an example for the second category. Take, for example, you have to be supportive and loving and everything for all brothers and sisters in Islam. But you get married to one of the sisters, right? Then you have more rights towards her than the rights towards any regular Muslim. And if she is of your relative, then you have probably more rights than just marriage. You have rights because she is your relative, and you have rights because she is your husband, and you have, she has rights because you are her husband, and she has rights because she is a Muslim. man, if you have a neighbor who is a Muslim and who is a relative, that neighbor has more rights than just a neighbor who is a Muslim. If you have a Muslim neighbor who is a relative to you, that neighbor has more rights than just a Muslim neighbor, and has rights more than just a Muslim and relative neighbor. And then there are other rights that depend on some circumstances related to the place, or related to the time, or related to the social status, or related to the health status, and related to the financial status of all. Some people would argue, are these rights mandatory, or just sunnah muakkada, or they are, let's say, mustahab, something that is beloved or liked in the Sharia. And let me tell you this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged saying salam to one another. Salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. And people would respond. Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, was noticed by another son of another companion, Ubay ibn Ka'b, his son, his name, Al-Qusayl ibn Ka'b. He was known, he used to call him and take him to the market where people are sitting and selling and buying. And all what he does, he says, Assalamu alaikum, and goes to everywhere and says, Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullah. And next time, he said to Al-Qusayl, follow me. And when he noticed that he was going to the market, he said to him, why are you going to the market? ماذا تصنع بالسوق وأنت لا تقف على البيع ولا تسأل عن السلع ولا تسوم بها ولا تجلس في مجالس السوق. Why are you going to the market if you do not ask about merchandise, if you do not buy from them, if you do not even bargain, and if you don't sit with the people who are in the market, why do you go? Then Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma قال إنما نغدو من أجل السلام نسلم على من لقينا. He said, we are going only for the purpose of saying salam. We will say salam to everyone we meet. So, I mean, it's not really a matter of mandatory or less in category. It's a matter of how much you are willing and how far you can go to practice, not to run away from. So, the advice that I have for you, that if we know that there is a right for Muslims, we should really try to discipline ourselves and work on ourselves to give it as soon as we learn it, inshallah. Now, as if I talk about the al-huquq al-amma, which means the general rights for Muslims. General rights for Muslims, you cannot enlist them 1, 2, 3, 4. Why? Because there are so many. However, there are some bases for these rights. And my worry, if I tell you 1, 2, 3, and you make a big list, that I will miss something and I wouldn't tell, and then you go and say, this must not be of the right. As there is a story that someone who employed another or who had a slave, and he was asking him really different things to do at the same time. Give me water to drink, feed my horse, do this for me, do that for me. And the man got tired and said, listen, you're gonna give me a list of responsibility. What I do, what should I do, at what time, and I will do. You don't have to really make me tired of this. And the man made a big list for him, as long as he could. And the other person took it and kept it in his pocket. They were walking, and the man was riding a horse, and that employee or that slave was walking on the ground, and the horse got entangled, and the man was about to fall and said, "Help me, help me." He took out the list and he looked in the list and he said, "I don't find it in the list." So we cannot list all the rights that Muslims have over one another, but we can list the basis for these rights. The basis for these rights are really love, unconditional love. And love comes or manifests itself in, you look at yourself, what do you want in life? And what do you want for yourself in the hereafter? And then you say, "I want all these good things to my brother, the believer." One of the great scholars was once praised by his son, saying, his son was saying to him, "Look, I mean, you do all these good deeds, you have all this much knowledge." And then he said to his son, "أَمَّا أَبُوكَ يَا بُنَيْ فَلَا كَثَّرَ اللَّهُ فِي الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِثْلَهُ أَمَّا وَاللَّهِ لَوْ أَنَّهُ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يَكُونَ فِي الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِثْلَهُ مَا نَصَحَ لَهُمْ وَمَا أَحَبَّ لَهُمْ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ." Very beautiful. If we understand it. Now, let me ask every one of you, do you love to stay as you are without growing in knowledge, in wealth, in physical strength, in everything else? You want to remain like that? Or you want to grow? You want to grow? So this son was telling his father, "May Allah make too many among the Muslims like yourself, because you are very good in knowledge." And he said, "No, may Allah make nobody like myself among the Muslims." Why? Because I don't love death for myself. I want to be more. And if I love for Muslims to be like the way I am right now, then I wouldn't be sincere to Muslims. You see how accurate or how delicate the matter is? You don't want to be as good as you are today, you want to be better, right? And the man was asking Allah not to make anyone like him, but rather more. Because the Prophet ﷺ says, "La yu'minu ahadukum حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه." None of you shall believe until he loves for his brother more than what he loves for himself. Allahu Akbar. You need to sit down and look at this. Do you love for your brother, those whom you know, and those whom you don't know, what you really love for yourself? That's really questionable. We need to examine ourselves from now on. So, scholars really have mentioned several of these. The brotherhood or the sisterhood, in the case of the sisters, love, support, sincere advice, covering their mistakes, forgiving them, fulfilling promises and words to them, and be showing them loyalty, to make dua for them in their absence, to fulfill their needs, help them satisfy their needs, and to protect their secrets. One of the scholars once was saying to somebody, "Let me tell you about the secret." And when he told him about the secret, he said, did you memorize it? He said, "No, I just forgot it." So if somebody tells you a secret, you don't keep it and say, "Yeah, I'm going to tell somebody else." Or your tongue slips and tell other people. He told him, "Did you memorize my secret?" He said, "No, I forgot it." The moment he told me, I forgot it. What does it mean? It means that I'm not going to even remember to tell anybody. I'm not going to even remember. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are different ahadith in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, literally the following: حق المسلم على المسلم, the right of Muslim over another Muslim are, in some cases the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned 5, in some other cases the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned 6. And I'm telling you, what is mentioned in these hadith is not really the only right. They are the mechanism in order to give people rights, and they are just manifestation of some of the mechanisms. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, حَقُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ سِتْ إِذَا لَقِيتَهُ فَسَلِّمْ عَلَيْهِ. When you meet with him, you say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Some people, they say, Assalamu alaikum. Other people, they say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Other people, they would say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And the more you say, the more reward you get. As once the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting and somebody came and said, Assalamu alaikum. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ashrun. These are 10. Meaning 10 in reward. And another person came and said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ashrun. These are 20 in reward. And another person came and said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they are 30 reward. It's only in the same statement you're saying. Instead of saying Assalamu alaikum, you could make it Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And also, salam would lead us to love one another. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا تَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا ألا أدلكم على شيء إذا فعلتموه تحاببتم أفشوا السلام بينكم. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that by the one in whose hand my soul is, you will not be admitted to the Jannah unless you believe, and you will not believe unless you love one another. Shall I tell you about something that if you do, you would love one another? Spread salam among yourselves. And unfortunately, when we say salam, we say it only to those whom we know. But we should say it to those whom we know and those whom we don't know. And قال عليه الصلاة والسلام وإذا دعاك فأجب. And when he invites you, you respond to his da'wah. If he invites you for food, then you must respond. And you respond, especially when there is a walima for marriage that's mandatory and everything else is much more recommended. And remember, if your brother is generous, as has come out of his way to invite you, and he invites you, you must be assured that when you go and visit his home and eat with him, that's going to make him happy. Well, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, أَعْظَمُ الصَّدَقَةُ سرور تدخله على قلب أخيك المسلم. The best or the greatest sadaqah is some pleasure you bring to your Muslim brother. Don't say, no, I don't want to come. If it's not convenient, then you can schedule with him another time. But accept the invitation of your brother. وإذا استنصحك فانصح. If he seeks your advice, then you need to provide him the sincere advice. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, الدين النصيحة, الدين النصيحة, الدين النصيحة, 3 times. Deen is mostly sincere advice. It's like al-hajj arafah. Hajj is arafah. So the one who doesn't do arafah is not making hajj. You cannot make up for Arafah. You can make up for anything else, but not Arafah. So you cannot make up in Islam for the sincere advice. And when he was asked, to whom, O Messenger of Allah? He said, Lillah, for Allah, Wali Kitab, and for his book, Wali Rasul, and for his messenger. ولأئمة المسلمين وعامة, and for the leaders of Muslims and for the common Muslims as well. And the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he gave the covenant to Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali رضي الله عنه, قال بايعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على وفد إقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة والنصح لكل مسلم. He said, I gave the covenant to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم for establishing salah and for paying zakah and for providing advice to every Muslim, sincere advice to every Muslim. And remember this, Jarir once went to buy a horse. How much bargain you would have with your own brother when you buy something from him? If he asks you $1,000 for a car that is worth $1,500, you would not be happy unless you take it for only $500, right? Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Badali, because of the covenant that he gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he went to buy a horse, and the guy told him it was worth 200 dirhams. I can give it to you for only 200 dirhams. And he kept saying to him, no, it is worth much more. Until he paid him 800 dirhams and took it and left. Allahu Akbar. That's really the application of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's how to live it. It's not just teach it and listen to it and it's gone from both the teacher and the student. It's the true application of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we should not wonder why the society was really strong. We should not wonder that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala said, Ya ma'ashar al-Muslimin, man lam yafqah falayaqrabanna aswaqan. He said to him, oh Muslim, the one who doesn't have good knowledge and strong knowledge in fiqh and true understanding of the deen of Allah should not come to our market, should not come to sell or to buy. Why is it so? Because when you have good knowledge in Islam and you're going to sell, you fear Allah on the one hand, and on the other hand, you do not cheat people. And then the seller and the buyer will be friends. They will not be enemies. Now, look at everywhere. Two Muslims get into some kind of transactions among themselves. They get to organize something. They get to sell something to each other. Then that's it. They are enemies. They will never deal with one another afterwards. Why is it so? Taqfullah al-Azim. Not too good, is it? So sincere advice, really, is part of the deen. One nushi and providing the sincere advice to every Muslim. وَإِذَا عَطَسَ فَحَمِدَ اللَّهَ فَشَمِّكَ. If he sneezes and says, Alhamdulillah, then you must say, يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ. Many Muslims, unfortunately, they don't know this good man. They don't know how to say Alhamdulillah. And they all what they say is like the kafirin, bless you. And they say to the Muslim and to the non-Muslim. Jews used to sneeze, to act like sneezing in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he says to them, Yarhamukallah, that he prays for them. And he never did that. He was saying, Yahdikum Allah, may Allah guide you. So you don't say to a non-Muslim, bless you, or Yarhamukallah. If you want to say, you have to say, say it, may Allah guide you. And I'm sure that they wouldn't feel comfortable, but this is the only thing you can say. However, if your Muslim brother is sneezing, or says Alhamdulillah after sneezing, then you have to say, it's mandatory, you will be sinful if you don't do so. وَإِذَا مَرِضَ فَعُدْ. And when he falls ill, you need to visit him. And especially if he hasn't done favors to you. If he hasn't done favors to you, and he falls ill, and you go visit him, that means you're visiting him only for the sake of Allah. And that's really great in the world. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us about the story in Bani Israel when a man was really wanted to visit someone. He he started on the road to visit someone who lived in another town, and you know how travel was difficult, wasn't something easy. It wasn't to get on your car and drive. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel particularly in his way in the form of a man to ask him, قَالَ إِلَٰهِ Where are you going? قَالَ أَزُورُ أَخًا فِي اللَّهِ تَعَالَ I wanted to visit a Muslim brother for the sake of Allah. He said, هَلْ لَكَ مِنْ نَعْمَةٍ تَرُبُّهَا عَلَيْكَ Do you have any favors that you have given to him before and you're going asking for its reward? قَالَ لَا إِلَّا أَنِّي أُحِبُّهُ فِي اللَّهِ تَعَالَ Except that because I love him for the sake of Allah. Then the angel said, فَأَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فَأَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَ إِلَيْكَ وَاللَّهُ يُعْلِمُكَ أَنَّهُ يُحِبُّكَ بِحُبِّكَ إِيَّاهُ I am the messenger of Allah to you. And Allah wants you to know that Allah loves you because of your love for your Muslim brother. Allahu Akbar. You see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith tells us about in the day of resurrection when people are frightened and people are among the people that Allah shelters them and protects them in the heat and there is no protection but His is the people who love one another only for the sake of Allah. In addition to that, there will be pulpits, manab, minur. There will be people who are sitting on the pulpits from that are made of the light. And they will cause amazement to the prophets and the messengers and the martyrs, the shuhada. Some people يجلسون على منابر من نور يوم القيامة يغبطهم النبيون والشهداء قالوا يا رسول الله صفهم لنا قال المتحابون في الله والمتزاورون في الله المتجالسون في الله They are the people when the prophets and the martyrs will be amazed and wondering how did they reach that really great position. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was asked to describe them why they have reached such a status, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he thought that they have any reason or any influence in organizing this conference, and he wanted me to arrange for him to come and speak. And when he realized that I wasn't really, I had no influence, instead of his good, long introduction and talk to me, he hung up, said, thank you. And he hung up right away. So, we need to really be together and have our relationships together for the sake of Allah, not for any worldly benefit. In the narration, also, وَإِذَا مَاتَ فَتْبَعْهُ When he dies, you follow him. And I always say to my fellow Muslims, imagine yourself that this person. And imagine that you needed everything possible from this life to benefit you in the grave. And then, all what your brothers and sisters could do is to offer janazah prayer on you. And pray sincerely for you. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that which means when the person dies, if مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ مُسْلِمٍ يَمُوتْ فَيُصَلِّي عَلَيْهِ أَرْبَعُونَ وفي بعض الروايات مئة يَشْفَعُونَ لَهُ إِلَّا شَفَّعَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ If the Muslim person dies, and 40 Muslim person offer janazah on him, and in some narration 100, and sincerely ask for mercy from Allah for him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them the request. It's something that's very little that you could do to your brother, and if you do to your brother, Allah will enable other people to do for you. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, That which means when the person, the Muslim person, dies and somebody stands over his ghusl, wash, preparation, and follows him to do the janazah prayer, then return, he will go back with one reward. And if he goes, follows him till the grave, he will get two rewards. Each reward is as big as the mountain of Uhud in Medina. Subhanallah. Who does not need such a great reward? إِذَا مَاتَ مَنْ حَضَرَ جَنَازَةً مُسْلِمٍ حَتَّى يُصَلَّ عَلَيْهِ ثُمَّ رَجَعْ كَانَ لَهُ مِنَ الْأَجْرِ أُعْطِيَ قِرَاطًا مِنَ الْأَجْرِ فَإِنْ تَبِعَهُ حَتَّى دُفِنْ أُعْطِيَ قِرَاطَيْنْ كُلُّ قِرَاطٍ مِثْلُ جَبَلِ أُحُدٍ. سبحان الله. Great reward, but something that we wish to be done for ourselves. In another narration for Imam Ibn Majah, Imam Ibn Majah said, وَيُحِبُّ لَهُ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِ. In addition to this right, you love for him what you love for your brother. I spoke about the sincere advice. I'm going to mention a few things and I don't need to elaborate on them because I continue to say that people are getting tired of listening to me, especially the people who are with me in Syracuse. And also it's not easy to speak loud like this for a long period of time to cover your brother's mistakes. من ستر على مسلم في الدنيا ستره الله في الدنيا والآخرة. The one who covers the mistake of another Muslim brother, Allah will cover his mistakes in this life and in the hereafter. When we say cover, Allah will not make it public. And Allah will not expose him because of that. On the other hand, the opposite, if somebody follows somebody else's fault, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose him in this life. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام يا معشر من آمن بلسانه ولم يدخل الإيمان قلبه لا تغتابوا المسلمين ولا تتبعوا عوراتهم فإنه من يتتبع الله من تتبع عورة أخيه تتبع الله عورته ومن تتبع الله عورته يوشك أن يفضحه ولو في عقر ذات. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, O people who have believed only by their tongues and iman has yet to enter their heart, do not follow the faults of your brother. If you follow the faults of your brother, Allah will follow your faults, and if Allah does, Allah will expose you even if you are in the inner place of your own home. Also, to get together with one another in support for what is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قال الله عز وجل وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان. And help one another in obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in doing that which is righteous, and do not help one another in doing that which is sin and aggression. I told you about other issues in the process and I will stop this list. However, the basis for this kind of general right is to have love and genuine sincerity and desire to benefit your Muslim brother in his way for towards obeying Allah and obeying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then what about the specific particular rights? Do you think that the rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on us are just like the rights of anybody else? More or less? Alhamdulillah. Some people are listening. Alhamdulillah. They are more. The rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are much more than the rights of anybody on earth? Are they more or less than our parents' rights? More? I will take your word for it. The rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over us are more than all rights of all other human beings or beings after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى عفوا ثلاث من كن فيه وجد بهن حلاوة الإيمان أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما. One of the things that the three things that will help you feel the sweetness of Iman is that Allah and His Messenger should be more beloved to you than anything else. So the Prophet ﷺ has higher categories. Some people, and this is very often, very frequent, some people would say, we love Rasulullah ﷺ. Some people even would say something more, we love Allah. And when the companion said, we love Allah, Allah gave them a sign to know who loves Allah. قال الله عز وجل, قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله. Say, if you love Allah, follow me, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah will love you. So the sign for following Allah, for loving Allah, for loving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is obeying him alayhi salatu wa sallam. How much you should love him? You should love him more than you love your own self. As Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, came and said, O Messenger of Allah, I love you more than anything else. Said myself. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا حتى أكون أحب إليك من نفسي. No, you're not going to believe until I become more beloved to you than even your own self. قال والله لأنت يا رسول الله أحب إلي من كل شيء حتى نفسي. By Allah, O Messenger of Allah, you are more beloved to me than anything else, even myself. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من ماله وولده من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. No one should love, should believe until I become more beloved to him, until, or nobody will be a true believer until I am more beloved to him than his father, his son, and all other human beings. So, do you agree that Muslims should support Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a sign, as a right that is due to him, alayhi salatu wa sallam? Do you agree to that? Okay, that's an agreement. Do you agree that Muslims should follow and obey him, alayhi salatu wa sallam, even if it, as, if it is at the expense of obedience to any other human being? Alright, agree. What else? Do you feel desire to see him? Do you feel desire to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? First of all, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a desire to see us. He expressed that desire in his time. And he said, وَلِدْنَا لَوْ أَنَّا قَدْ رَأَيْنَا إِخْوَانَنَا. I wish that we have seen our brothers. And when he was asked, aren't we your brothers? He said, لَا بَلْ أَنْتُمْ أَصْحَابِي. No, you are my companions. وَإِخْوَانُنَا الَّذِينَ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بَعْدُ. Our brothers are the ones who are going to come afterwards. And the people who come after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they haven't seen him, they really long for seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They long. They want to sacrifice everything in order to see him. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من أشد أمتي حبا لي أناس يأتون بعدي. Some of the most beloved, loving people to me from my ummah, those who are going to come after me. يود أحدهم لو رآني. The person of them would like to love me, to see me, even if he sacrifices his own wealth and family. Allahu Akbar. Have you sat with yourself and longed for seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Did you remember to see how does he look? I wish I could see him. I am sorry to say that, but I bet that some people haven't even thought of it. Some people never occurred to their mind that they wanted to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respect. You see how to respect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Respect. Amr ibn al-As says, وَاللَّهِ مَا كَانَ أَحَدٌ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. None was more beloved to me than Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He was saying, nothing was more beloved to me than Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, but I did not. And I could not look at him face to face because of my respect to him. And if somebody would ask me to describe him, I wouldn't be able to. Allahu Akbar. When Alqama ibn al-Aswad ibn Waqas al-Laythi went to the ambassador of Quraysh to negotiate with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he found him with his companions surrounded, to the extent that the ambassador, that person who was coming to negotiate with him, wasn't even allowed to come close. They were surrounding him, that if he wanted to do something bad, he wouldn't reach him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And he went him to his people and said, Ya qawmi, Allahi laqad ra'aytu kisra fi mulke, wa qaysara fi mulke, wa najashiya fi mulke, ma ra'aytu ahadan ashadda ta'ziman لملكهم من أصحاب محمد لمحمد عليه الصلاة والسلام. He said, I have seen Heraclius in his kingdom with his people, and I have seen Caesar in his kingdom and his people. I have also seen Najashi in his kingdom and with his people, and I have seen Muhammad with his people. I haven't seen more respectful people to their king than the companion of Muhammad to him عليه الصلاة والسلام. And what do we have to respect now after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? His sunnah, his teaching, his example, as Imam Malik and many other people were narrated, has been reported that they used to cry, used to lower their faces when they were talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of the respect and the love that they used to have for him. And also to defend his sunnah alayhi salatu wasalam and to spread it to those who don't know. And then the love or the rights of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. They are more than the rights of our parents. Why? Because they are the ones who supported Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and they are the ones whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam loved more than he loved our parents. More than he loved anything else. And we love them, and we respect them because of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's love for them. And we defend their reputation, their name, their rights. We defend them. If somebody would come and say, well, it doesn't matter to me if someone else would criticize, of course, Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and all other companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I don't care. As long as he is good with me. SubhanAllah. How could you do that? If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Khalid ibn al-Walid, Ya Khalid, la tasubhu ashab. Oh Khalid, do not curse my companion. Khalid was a companion. But because he had a disagreement with a companion who was older than he is, who had much time longer with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so consequently, he had more privilege with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said to him, do not curse my companion. Wallahi, لو أن أحدكم أنفق مثل أحد ذهبا ما بلغ مد أحدهم ولا نصيب. If the person of you would spend as much and as big as the mountain of Uhud of gold for the sake of Allah, he would not be doing as much as when the one of them would spend two hands full or half of that. And Abdullah ibn Amr, ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنهما قال لا تسبوا أصحاب محمد والله لمقام أحدهم ساعة في سبيل الله خير من عمل أحدكم طوال عمره. Do not insult the companions. This is what Abdullah ibn Amr, ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with them, said. Do not insult the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The standing for one moment of one of them for the sake of Allah is much better than the entire life of yours if spent in the obedience to Allah. So anyone would really insult the wife of Rasulullah or the companions of Rasulullah, that's completely banishing his deen. If he does really good deeds forever, they will not be accepted from him. And also then we have to specific particular rights. You see, there are many Muslims, and there are Muslims who follow the Sunnah, and there are Muslims who don't follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have categorized themselves under different names, and they have sometimes not categorized themselves, but we have to have love and respect and more rights for the people of the Sunnah more than those who are just regular Muslims without being people of the Sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ النَّاسَ كَإِبِلٍ رَاحِلَةٍ كَإِبِلٍ مَاءَ لَا تَكَادُ تَجِدُ فِيهَا رَاحِلَةٍ, meaning that people really are like rides. You see, when you have mountains, when you mount, when you have animals, and you would like to pick up one of them to travel for a long period of time, you would probably out of 100 would not be able to find a very good strong mount that would carry you for that long trip. And if you find one, it will be really after long search. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام إن الناس كإبل راحلة لا تكاد تجد فيها ماء. People are just like camels or cattle. You look among them in 100 number of people, you would find only one who is good and worthy of love and the right that we are talking about. Therefore, I really hate it when I see good Muslim speakers standing about to the public and talking about this is what Muslims should do, this is what Muslims should plan, and this Muslims. Really, many, many, many Muslims who attend masajid, many, many Muslims who attend conferences are not up to the level of responsibility. And we need to raise the education and the awareness of Muslims to be up to the responsibility, just to be regular Muslims first, just to be ordinary Muslims first. And then we can move from there. We can tell them how to be leaders. We can tell them what to do for the future. We can tell them what is good and what is bad in other affairs. But Muslims haven't come to the point to understand even their deen, most of them, yes, subhanAllah. And even I would be disheartened when I hear a very famous Muslim speaker talking about Allah and he doesn't use the proper words. SubhanAllah. He doesn't use the proper words about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah. That is really a sin for someone to know about lots of things, to even dare to speak, and doesn't know how to attribute and what to attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Sufyan al-Thawri alayhi rahmatullah قال إذا سمعت أن عالما بالمشرق وآخر بالمغرب من أهل السنة والجماعة فادعوا لهما وصلي عليهما واستغفر لهما ما شد غربة أهل السنة والجماعة. He said, if you know that there is a Muslim scholar in the East and another Muslim scholar in the West who are following the Sunnah, pray for them. Make dua for them. Seek Allah's forgiveness for them. How strange the people of the Sunnah these days. And that was 1100 years ago. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you might hear that these people, that this person is from following the Sunnah of Rasulullah. Actually, the Sunnah of Rasulullah is very comprehensive, very strong, very, very, very inclusive to all matters of life. And we have many people who are ignorant about the Sunnah of Rasulullah in many aspects, and because knowing some of the acts in Salah, they call themselves people of the Sunnah. We need to know the Sunnah of Rasulullah as he intended and wanted his people to know. Not only in terms of ibadah, Salah, not only in terms of the way how to raise your voice in the khutbah, not in the way how to dress, in all of these matters, in all the matters, including dealing with the non-Muslim and dealing with the Muslim, in all matters of Rasulullah, in the mercy of Rasulullah, that Rasulullah had, that Rasulullah expressed for all. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, I mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have sent you but as a mercy to all creation. And alayhi salatu wa salam was going to kill himself out of sadness and sorrow because of people rejecting faith. He was sad for them. قال الله عز وجل فلعلك باخع نفسك على آثارهم إن لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث. You are about to kill yourself because these people aren't believing because of the sorrow and sadness. How many one of us would really feel sad because non-Muslims are not accepting the truth and the true guidance? We probably have often erroneously made worried and concerned ourselves about making judgments about who would enter the fire and who would not, rather than being concerned, being genuinely sad for not accepting Islam. And when we see some Muslim who is not going on the right path, feeling genuinely concerned, genuinely sad that they are not on the right path, and genuinely praying for them that Allah might guide them. There are more rights that can be given because of the relationship. I'll just mention them. For rights for parents are different and more than the rights of children over you. And some people think that rights for parents only in their lives, when they're alive, you help them, you listen to them, etc. But even it goes and continues to fulfill their promises to other people, to be righteous and be friendly to their friends. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always seen welcoming an old lady during the time of Aisha, to the extent that Sayyidah Aisha was really jealous. He said, why do you really welcome this lady, and whenever she comes you stand up, you get up and let her sit down and you prepare a place for her? قال عليه الصلاة والسلام إنها كانت تأتينا زمان خديجة. She used to come and visit us during the time of Khadija, and he used to send her some gifts. Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu once was walking and he had only a donkey as a mount. And he had some kind of, something to really, like khutra or something like that to put on his head and to, like imam, a turban. And once he saw a person, a Bedouin man coming, and he jumped and he said, Alasta fulan ibn fulan? Aren't you so, the son of so and so? قال بلى. Then he got off his donkey, he gave it to him, and he gave him that turban and gave it to him. And people said, are you crazy? You give your donkey that you ride on and your turban to someone, to a Bedouin man. قال إن أباه كان صديقا لعمر. His father was a friend of Umar. People now, after their parents died, would, brothers would be enemies to one another because of the inheritance, because of the dividing the estate, right? And as long as soon as their parents are buried, then they don't know, they don't care for anybody else. Their parents' friends, their parents' promises, etc. Children, their rights, really, some people erroneously think that their rights start from the moment they are born and you give them good name and you raise them Islamically. No, their rights start before, way before even marriage. When you make yourself righteous and you choose a righteous spouse for them, and the man who chooses a woman because of her beauty who is not righteous, he is doing great disservice to his children, and he is hurting them in the process. And the man, the woman who chooses a man, who chooses a man because of his any other than religion, she is hurting her children in the process. And she is doing a great disservice to their, to her children. And the spouses who feed themselves from any way other than halal, they are hurting their children. And the ones who become disobedient to Allah, they are hurting their children. Let me tell you about something. I will refer you to it. It's in the Quran. Go to the story of the man of Al-Khidr Musa alayhi salam in Surah Al-Kahf. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send Al-Khidr and Musa to build the wall? It is only because the father of these two children who had the treasure hidden underneath the wall, their father was righteous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their father was a righteous man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلْيَخْشَ الَّذِينَ لَوْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّةً ضِعَافًا خَافُوا عَلَيْهِمْ فَلْيَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْيَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Those who fear the future, for the future of their children, when if they die, if their children are young, they are not rich, and they want to, for them to be strong, to be good, in good condition, what should they do? They should not keep good amount of money. They should keep being righteous. They should fear Allah, and they should say the right thing in the right time. I tell you this, that happened in my lifetime. I have seen people who died and left children who are really, and left for them lots of money. I have seen the children could not get their money. And I have seen the children go on drugs and go astray totally, and safe and secure, unable to have even food for their day. And this story took place in the time of Al-Khalifa after in the Umayyad dynasty. One of the one who narrated the story says, I have seen the children of two Khalifas. One of them, Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, and the other one, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, when he left his children, he left them, he said, the narrator said, with every one of them had 100,000 dinars. Money was gold, 100,000 dinars. If you would have this amount in your bank account, you would not work. You would relax forever. Whatever, forever means. 60, 70, 80 years, and tell you that you don't need to work. And he left for them palaces, real estate, gardens. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, when he got the Khilafah, became the Khalifa, he said to his wife, who was the daughter of a Khalifa, and the sister of a Khalifa, and the niece of a Khalifa, she said to her, give me all the jewelry you have and all the money. She said, why? He said, I'm afraid that because it belongs to Muslims, just give it to me. And it was given and deposited in the treasury, along with the state capital and treasure. And one of his daughters came to him and said, I want to have a new dress for Eid. And he called his treasure. You see, when you are righteous man, you have a righteous person, you have righteous people to surround you. You do not have wicked people around you. And he said, can you lend me, give me the salary for a future month and I will pay it when I work it? He's the Khalifa. And he said, do you know that you're going to live for one more month so you can work for it? Allahu Akbar. Then he called his daughter and he said, would you like to dress in new clothes for Eid? And your father goes to the fire, or you would prefer to keep with your own old clothes? She cried and she said, no, I prefer to keep my own old clothes and stay with it, even in the Eid. And when he died, he left nothing for his children. He left nothing for his children. Listen to this. The narrator says, I have seen the children of Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan begging people. They lost, each one of them lost the 100,000 dinar and lost the real estate he had. وَرَأَيْتُ أَوْلَادَ عُمَرِ بْنَ عَبْدِ الْعَزِيزِ مَعَهُمُ الطِّيَاعُ وَالْقُصُورُ وَالْأَمْوَالِ. And I have seen the children of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz have become very rich after his death. Allahu Akbar.